I wonder how many times in our Christian lives, or perhaps before, for some of us, we've prayed the Lord's Prayer. It's a very familiar prayer to us, isn't it? And every time that we do pray it, we pray, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Or in the wonderful traditional language, I think the message is got across a bit better. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And we pray those words very easily. I'm sure we know them by heart. But the actual act of forgiveness is so much harder to do, isn't it? And it's an actual choice that we have to make. Just as we daily choose, or have to choose really in our Christian lives, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus daily, it's a choice to be thankful despite difficult challenges, difficulties or struggles we are facing, which for many people are very difficult, particularly at this time with the pandemic, further restrictions this week, and life can be very challenging, and it's a choice to follow Jesus. The word trespass in the Lord's Prayer is very apt because it means that someone without permission has come into our life and dumped their stuff uninvited onto us and then left. And that's really a very good description of what it's like. I often meet a lot of people who have chosen not to forgive. Many of the funeral visits that I do, there are often relatives of the deceased who've fallen out with them or with each other, and it's at the point of death that they're brought together. And for lots of reasons, and because it is very difficult, you know, they've chosen not to forgive, and it's very hard, it's very sad to see, because that unforgiveness has often led to a deep bitterness and cynicism, really, that is sad to see. As someone once said, choosing not to forgive someone who has hurt you is like making the choice to drink poison. It kills you inside, and it does make you bitter and judgmental. God knows it's hard for us to forgive, and we can only really do it effectively with his help. We are told to forgive 125 times in the Bible. It is a command. God commands us to do it. So if nothing else, we need to do it out of obedience to him. And it's important to do if we're going to live the free and abundant lives that God has in store for us. I read a book that actually I went to find this week and I can't find it. A wonderful book by Desmond Tutu and his daughter, Reverend Mo Tutu. They wrote a book called The Book of Forgiving, and I would really recommend it to you. And he offers a deeply personal testament and guide to the process of forgiveness. All of us at times have need to forgive and be forgiven, whether small everyday harms or real traumas. But the path to forgiveness, he says, is not easy and the process unclear. How do we let go of the resentment that very quickly comes when we've been harmed? At times, it feels like irreparably. How do we forgive and still pursue justice? How can our hearts be healed? How do we heal the harm we have caused others? And how do we forgive ourselves? Well, drawing on his memories of reconciliation in post-apartheid South Africa, Desmond Tutu offers four steps to forgiving and to reconciliation. And I just want to talk about those this morning because I think they're hugely helpful. They've been really helpful to me. But first of all, the first step is telling the story. It's important to share and speak out what has happened to someone that you can trust. And it may be that you need to do that more than once. Choose someone who's empathetic, somebody who's understanding of the pain that you're feeling. When somebody hurts us, we feel a real pain. And it's important to give that pain a voice. And it's remembering the facts and not discounting the hurt and pain. That's why it's good to choose somebody who will listen and empathise. And so that's telling the story. And then it's naming the pain, acknowledging the hurt and pain, and what you felt about what happened. The feelings of shame, the feelings of guilt, feelings of betrayal, and any other feelings are to be honoured as we speak them out. And that's when they lose their power and their hold over us. Giving a voice to our hurt enables us to take power of the situation. And then the third step, granting forgiveness. And it is a choice, and it's the recognition of not wanting to carry this anymore and letting Jesus have the burden. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." When we choose to give the hurt, the pain, the shame, the betrayal to Jesus, he does take it from us. That's why he died on the cross for us. And he releases us from the negative feelings that so easily damage our relationship with each other and, of course, with Jesus himself. And often when we give that burden to Jesus, we feel a sense of peace. A weight has gone. The weight of the burden has been lifted, and we're able to look back, and it's as if the situation doesn't have a hold on us anymore. But it can take time to do that. And then the fourth step is the renewed relationship with the person. But it's important to say that that might not happen, and it might be safer for yourself to be cut free from that person, and the Holy Spirit will guide you with that, and that's okay. But sometimes, and more often than not, God helps us to make amends with the person, because the relationship, when you've forgiven someone, is so much stronger and deeper. And those are the sort of relationships that Jesus wants us to have with each other and in our church family. And it's wonderful when that forgiveness and healing takes place. I often say to couples when I'm giving marriage prep that the three important words in a marriage are not "I love you," but "I forgive you," or the other three, "I am sorry." They're really good words to say to one another, and they really do help to deepen our relationship. And we have the forgiveness of ourselves, something that actually can be really hard, and often the hardest thing to do is to forgive ourselves for the things that we've done wrong or the hurts that we have caused others. But the Holy Spirit, again, helps us to do that. The whole act of forgiveness is painful and hard, but we do have, as Christians, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the trusted friends in our church family to pray with us, and to help us. That's really why we need to be in community and in a family with each other. We can't do it alone. And choosing not to forgive, because that is a choice, really, choosing not to forgive can lead to more pain and hurt. It's not often that you meet people who've chosen not to forgive who aren't feeling some sort of pain. And life can become really tough. And we just sometimes have to think, well, I'm going to forgive because God tells me to, even though we don't feel like it. If we follow the facts, eventually the feelings will catch up. But we can't go with our feelings initially. I would really commend this book to you by Desmond Tutu and his daughter. It is really good. It's called The Book of Forgiving. As I said, I was hoping to bring my copy to show you, but I can't find it. So I'm sorry about that, but it's still a very good book. I'm going to ask Richard to pray, freely, freely you have received. And as we sit quietly and listen to Richard praying for us, I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's anybody in your life that you need to forgive, or if there's something you need to forgive yourself for. And as we listen to the song, just be tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You may find it helpful to look at the lyrics as well. The words are very good and helpful for us with the whole act of forgiveness. So thank you, Richard.